thanks for giving me the code, passcode. Hello.
I was going to just say that's what it is, but then it would have been my log. That's not.
I know. Because I thought somebody tried that. It didn't work. But it's so much easier. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's what it came up for me last time.
I thought last time you tried it.
I figured, no, it did work.
No,
Dairy Township Guest was the one that it worked for.
Yeah. Go. everybody understands that. But my husband, you know, is concerned about me going to these in person. But at least we're staying in person.
I'm actually surprised they don't require them. Well, I'm not surprised, but, you know. Is your internet working?
No,
mine's not either. Oh, wait, now it's starting to, which is really slow.
Can everyone hear me all right? All right,
push the button.
Okay, how about now? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, the September 15th, 2021 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. I'm going to do a roll call of members here. Lindsay Drew.
Present.
Sandy Ballard.
Here.
Dean Morgan.
Here.
Mike Angelo, absent. And I'm Steve Seidel. I'm here. Okay. All right. I'm going to propose first order of business is approval of minutes from the August 18th, 2021 meeting. I'm going to propose a motion that those minutes be approved with two corrections, and that is to indicate two members of the public that attended. They did not sign in, but they did provide testimony. So they should be listed as attending the meeting, and that is Charlton, Charleton Zimmerman at 119 North Roosevelt Avenue, and Sandra Arndt, Arndt, at 130 McKinley Avenue. So I'll make that motion to approve.
I'll second the motion with that amendment.
Thank you, Sandy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that passes. All right, we have one item of old business, and that's the adoption of a decision in the case of G&Z Investments, LLC, case number 2021-05. And I will again make a motion on this to approve the order, which I will now read the proposed order. And now this 15th day of September, 2021, number one, the applicant's request for a special exception from section 225-502.12 regarding reestablishing a discontinued non-conforming use is denied. Number two, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-314, table 26, regarding permitted uses in the Palmdale mixed-use zoning district is denied. And I'll note that the application had erroneously referenced section 225-315, table 28, which sets forth uses in the Hershey mixed-use zoning district. And that footnote is included in the proposed order as well. Okay. Do I have a second?
Second, Lindsay Drew.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor of adopting this order as written, which is to deny both the special exception and the variance. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries 4-0. Okay. Okay, before we get started on new business, we've got a full agenda and a more full house than we usually have at our meetings here. So let me just say that we want to fully hear from the applicants as well as fully hear any comments from the public on any of the applications. However, given the number of cases tonight, I will ask you to make sure you keep things moving along, get to your points, and please make sure you are addressing, if it's a variance you're asking for, please make sure you are addressing the points required to qualify for a variance, and if it's a special exception you are asking for, that you do the same relative to a special exception. And when you come forward, please, to the microphone to testify, if before you start testifying, if you would please state your full name, please spell your last name, and if your first name requires spelling, please do that too, and indicate your address for the court reporter to get that documented properly. Okay, and you can also, you can assume that we have seen your application, but you still need to address the, make sure you're addressing the key points that are required for a variance or special exception. Okay, so we will start with a hearing in the case of the Lexus Group, LLC, case number 2021-06. I made the same mistake.
My name is Carla Farrell, K-A-R-L-A. Farrell is F as in Frank, A-R-R-E-L-L. I'm with Lexus Group, and the address there is 309 Hialeah Drive, Dillsburg, 17019. The applicant requests a variance under Chapter 225, Article 3, Section 304, of the Derry Township Code Ordinance regarding Table 7, principal structure, side setback, the requirement of 20 feet. Beth Streeper is building a new home at the address 1410 Sand Hill Road to replace the existing dwelling there. The existing dwelling will be demolished. She'd like to connect the existing garage situated on the south side of the property to the new dwelling. When you, when the existing accessory building becomes attached to the proposed principal structure, then it becomes part of the principal structure. And that generates a principal structure that does not meet the minimum yard side setback. The new principal structure meets the requirements of all the new construction, and the existing principal structure will be removed once they are moved into the new dwelling. So if you can see on the site plan, the proposed dwelling is in purple. The existing garage, you could see a little bit of a red outline around that area of the existing garage to the south. That is the variance request. And then the building in the front to be demolished, it actually has a variance as it exists right now that's actually sticking out over that 30-foot front yard setback. So in demolishing that building, we will actually be removing that variance as well.
Could I ask you a quick question?
Certainly.
As you go here? You're saying you were granted, the applicant or the owner was granted a, or prior owner was granted a variance for that in the past?
No.
Or it is a non-conforming structure relative to the setback?
It's an existing non-conforming structure.
Okay, that's not the same thing as a variance.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
It's an older building that was built before there was actually a 30-foot setback.
Okay.
The physical circumstances that are peculiar to this particular property is that the garage is an existing accessory structure that becomes a principal structure when it becomes attached to the new structure. The garage is connected to the new dwelling within the required side or the required setbacks, and the hardship is generated by the definition of existing garage as a principal structure. The physical circumstances or conditions that would eliminate any possibility of the property can be developed within strict conformity to the provisions. The authorization of the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of this property. What we're saying is that the all new development meets the provisions of the zoning ordinance, and the authorization of the variance will allow a connection between the existing structure and the new principal structure. The hardship is that exists in the location of the existing accessory structure that was built prior to the creation of the side yard setbacks for accessory structures. And then it doesn't alter the character of the neighborhood or the zoning district because the garage is an existing structure and there's no alteration of the existing character because the existing structure is already there. The existing dwelling will be removed, and like, as I mentioned before, that existing non-conforming variance will be removed when the building is removed. If this is the minimum variance that will afford relief, the project doesn't expand the non-conformance. It only allows the existing structure to remain, and this is the minimum variance that represents a lease modification. Anybody have any questions?
I have a question. So the existing dwelling is going to be demolished, is that correct?
Yes.
But the reason the garage is not also either being demolished and incorporated into a conforming new home or being left as a detached garage with a new home that complies, you know, without attachment. In other words, the setback required for a accessory structure, which would be a detached garage,
mm-hmm.
is 10 feet,
mm-hmm.
a side setback,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to 20.
Right.
Which would still require some relief, but less relief than the 11.43 feet being asked for.
So
had that been considered?
You just leaving a couple of feet between the existing
either
dwelling?
Leaving the existing garage as a detached garage or demolishing both the garage and the home and then you know you're building a whole new home incorporating a garage that complies as an attached garage within the new structure. Had either of those been considered?
It is an existing non-conforming garage, and so
right.
you know section 225-602A5 actually allows an existing non-conforming building that encroaches upon the current minimum yards to be expanded, provides the expansion is attached to the existing non-conforming structure. The expansion may be extended into the non-conforming yard, provided that the extension does not worsen the existing encroachment. So we're not making the encroachment any worse. We did look at putting the building a few feet away from the existing garage. However, it seemed sort of because we weren't really changing the existing character, because we weren't encroaching any further on this issue, that it seemed unnecessary to go from your house, go outside for 2 or 3 feet, go back in the garage to get in your car to leave the property. So it was just a matter of, you know, allowing someone to stay out of whatever weather there might be between the new home and getting in the car in the garage.
Okay.
And I think the second part maybe of his question was, did you also consider getting rid of the garage and just building a separate garage as part of your home?
I mean, that could be considered, but because it was an existing non-conforming building, there didn't seem to be a very good reason to get rid of a perfectly, you know, a garage that's in good condition, just to demolish it because it didn't meet an updated side yard setback.
Other questions? More?
How far is the existing garage from the property line?
If Janelle can back up one, I think that's so it's 8.5789 feet is the closest point.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no other questions from the board. I'll ask for any. Oh, I have one other question for you. So what is on the property? Is there any structures or any, is the property next to that property line that the garage is closest to? Is there any improved structures or how is that currently used?
It's zoned, I believe, single family residential, but it's not improved at this point.
Zoned R1, but there's no structures or improvements. Okay. We'll take any questions from the public. Well, I messed up. I did not. Sorry. I goofed up here. I forgot to swear you in advance. So I'm gonna ask you to. I'll swear you in. Afterwards, that you've testified,
that
everything you've testified to is, so I'll word it a little differently than normal, okay? So if you please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you have given is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, are there any members of the public that wish to provide any testimony on this particular case? Seeing no hands, I will let you know then that the board has 45 days to decide and make a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal it if you're aggrieved in any way.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Okay, next we have hearing in the case of Joy S. Trout, case number 2021-07.
Sorry, I'm going to work from my phone here. I didn't think
to turn everything else. I'm going to swear you in first this time, like I'm supposed to do. Okay. If you'd raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. All right, if you please state your full name.
My name is Joy Trout, and I'm a resident at 2154 Deer Run Drive, and that's in Derry Township, Hummelstown.
Okay, thank you.
And not really sure how to do this, never had to do this before, but I think what you need next is the Article 4, Section 225-407, applying for the variance on the height of a fence that we'd like to have installed on our property. And I believe the zoning requirement is 72 inches. I'm asking for a variance to 96 inches on the height of the fence. And the reason for that is, if you look at the picture here of the backyard, you can see that my neighbor's patio is quite high. It's actually well over 2 feet, and we are actually have a patio installed there on our property. So we're looking to install the fence at this height from the house, just out to the corner of the patio, no further than it really needs to go. But that would be able to provide us with the adequate privacy. If it was only 6 feet, you'd be looking over the fence if you're standing on the other side, as well as you know, provide a little bit of safety from somebody falling onto our patio from that height, which is a concern of ours. So we're asking just for the variance in height, knowing that it is the minimum, only the length of the patio and the height that would give us what we need for privacy, and actually would be higher if she were to install this same fence on her side of the property. So it's actually less than if we were to have, you know, if she were to install a 6 foot on her patio. So
her patio would be taller, you're saying?
It would be taller on her side. If she installed it on her side, it would actually be taller than what I'm asking for. So what I'm asking for is the minimum to be able to provide privacy screen, as well as to be able to, you know, protect from injury on our property because of the height of that patio, which is pretty tall. And those things aren't even sitting there anymore, so it's completely open. And that's basically the gist of the request. I think that, you know, at this point, we've looked at other options, and this seems to be the best option. So, you know, I appreciate you hearing me today. Did I cover all the pieces of that? Sorry, I've never done this
before. I think you did either on your application or what you just said. Any questions from board members on this?
Just to confirm, since there is a homeowners association.
All of the homeowners association permissions have already been approved and received for color, for everything, for that height, for everything. So all of those approvals are in place. I'm just in need of your approval here today.
I have one or two quick questions for you, just to clarify dimensionally and so on. Are you a middle unit or an end unit? I can't see that from this picture.
Oh, I'm an end unit. The end of the townhome unit is, there you go. You can see it there. You can see her patio there with the three things on it, and we're on the end there.
So you don't have any other unit that's attached to your building?
No, sir.
That would be seeing this fence from their patio, for example?
No.
Okay.
No, not from the back. Okay. I mean, there's other units around that area, but...
Right, but not attached to your...
Correct, okay. Correct.
And then my other question is, what's the dimension? Do you know the dimension that you're proposing to bring that fence out? How many panels or how many?
Do you have that? Oh, man. We can go in. I don't remember what the length is. I believe it was...
Maybe it says in that...
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I
think it's
told you
on
we
the,
read this,
I think it's
I
on the diagram. It might be 12 okay. feet, if, but I don't want to speak out of turn.
Okay, yeah, I thought I saw that, but I'm not seeing it right now. So.
Sections,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have that then. Thank you. I just want to make sure we had it.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you have it.
Thank you.
So the request is just for a 12-foot fence?
Yes, a 12-foot by 96 high. And it's actually not even going out as far as the patio is going. It's only just going out to the corner of that, that where it's raised. Because I can, in good conscience, have somebody fall onto my patio is my concern. So, and she is aware that that's going to go there. We talked about the different options and getting the variances. So I've worked with her. I'm friendly with her. It just, after discussing the different options, she felt this route was the best way to go. So, just trying to be neighborly, but I think that hopefully this can get approved.
Okay.
Just
great. All right. Good. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to provide testimony on this case?
Just to confirm for the record, I can't recall if you said it this way or not, but you did not create the hardship. This was already in place.
Thank you. No, that was all existing when we got there, and there's no change in grade or anything like that. It is how it's been for years.
So it's not, you said you put a patio in, but basically you
we did
put
an
at
improvement
the same grade
in,
that's there now. Is that
yes? Right? Yes, we did put a patio in, so we're trying to improve our backyard so that it's a little bit more, able to be usable.
And it won't interfere with the drainage or any of the downspouts there.
No. The downspouts are actually now moved with the patio to they're under the patio.
So the patio is already there. Okay.
And moved out and everything. Yeah, I had a separate zoning permit filed for the patio because of this variance. I didn't want to hold it up. But the slope actually kind of goes down this way, so it's really just everything's gonna run off and down into the easement grate. That's on the other side of the property.
Okay. Thank you. Right. I don't have any other questions.
Any other questions? No. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Again, we have 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days to appeal it if you're aggrieved in any way.
Okay. Thank you for your
time. Okay. next case is hearing in the case of Brownstone Brokers, LLC, case number 2021-08, and I'll swear you in first. excuse me. Is there anyone else going to be testifying is there anyone else going to be testifying on behalf of?
Potentially.
Okay. Well, let's swear them in at the same time as you as well then.
Okay. Todd, Chuck, and Sue, can you come up?
Steve, just before we get started, I'd just like to state for the record that I'm going to recuse myself from this because one of the proposed tenants that they're seeking approval for, I have a personal family connection to.
Okay. Thank you, Lindsay. So noted. Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah. Could you repeat that, please?
I'm recusing myself from this hearing and won't be participating in any of it because of a personal family connection to one of the proposed applicants for the use of space.
Okay, great. If you'd all please then raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. So
nice.
Yeah, so... We'll need everyone's name. So, Scott, let's start.
Good evening. My name is Scott Campbell, ScottCambell. I'm here tonight representing Brownstone Brokers, LLC, and also Brownstone Real Estate Company. Gentlemen that raised their hand in the rear, Todd Lechleitner, who's my partner at Brownstone Brokers and also Brownstone Real Estate Company, Sook Kim, who is the owner of Kim's Martial Arts Studio, and Chuck Cray, who's the owner of Hershey Care, which we'll be discussing tonight during the hearing.
Okay, let me just make sure. Do you go with the names, or do you need spelling?
Can I just have
you
spell your last name? K-I-M. K-I-M. S-U-K. Oh, my partner.
My last name? Yes. Lechlaner. L-E-C-H-L-E-I-T-N-E-R.
Before you begin your testimony, I'd just like the record to reflect that our firm has represented Brownstone Real Estate Company, Mr. Kodruby, but we don't represent you with respect to zoning issues, so I don't believe that creates a conflict of interest.
Thank you. Okay?
Yep, go ahead and proceed, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Good evening. Again, my name is Scott Campbell. I'm president of Brownstone Real Estate Company. We're here tonight to talk about two potential tenants that we have for our building at 501 West Governor Road here in Hershey. We're asking for a special exception authorization under Chapter 225, Article 6, Section 225-603 of the Derry Township Code of Ordinances regarding substitution of a nonconforming use. So I think that maybe a little bit of background will be helpful for everyone involved here with this property. Todd and I purchased this building, about 15,000 square foot building, last year from the Antique Auto Club of America. It's an interesting building. The original building was built in 1936 by Milton Hershey School. It was a student home called Rolling Green. And was a student home all the way through the early 70s. In fact, my high school football coach was a student in this student home. He told interesting stories about Route 322 back in the early 60s when he was there, and they were the only building there. They used to go out and shovel snow that drifted on the 322, and they would get tipped by the vehicles would go by, and they'd shovel snow back on the road until the next car came up. But that was a student home until 1971, until the Antique Auto Club of America purchased the building and used it for their national headquarters. In the mid-80s, 1985, they built an addition to the building. As you can see, it's on the west side, the left of this picture. And that was used for their library. They called it their library. They included a lot of their documents on cars, very rare documents, very valuable documents that were in that part of the building. And it was approved back in 1985 by the township as a library. So we're here today because we have renovated the old part of the building for our purposes, about half of that, about 7,500 square feet. The other half we're here to talk about today. Our half we use as real estate offices. It has been grandfathered for office space, so we didn't have to do anything there. It was already being used as such. So we have plenty of space for Brownstone Real Estate Company there, and we have about 7,420 square feet of vacant space in the building right now. What we'd like to do is we'd like to rent to the gentleman that we introduced previously, to Hershey Care. Hershey Care would go on the upper level and the mid-level of the space. You can kind of see it there. Hershey Care is a closed-door pharmacy. They do not see customers. They service mostly, and Chuck can speak to this, they service mostly nursing homes. And so they fill orders and deliver out of, they would deliver out of this building. They are presently located just a few feet from our building over in the Blue Barn. So they would not be making a very far move to our building. They desire more space for a growing business, and this would be a perfect situation for them. Down below, we have about 3,200 of square foot of space that Suk Kim would like to put Kim's Institute of Martial Arts. in the lower level. Suk has been a business person here in central Pennsylvania for a long time. He's been located in Briarcrest in the past. He's been located in the old Hershey Memmi's Bakery area building in the past. Currently, he's out on 743 in the Athletic Club building out there, and would desire to move to our space. So what I'm asking for is relief under the sections that I mentioned previously. So we could rent to the folks that are here tonight. So that's an explanation of the project. Do you want me to go through the criteria at all? Do you have questions? How would you like to proceed at this point?
Yeah, briefly touch upon how you're addressing that criteria.
For the special exception.
Right, the special exception.
The application we received, unfortunately, was filled out as if you were asking for a variance, which you are not. So.
Not the application I filled out.
No, he has it listed under special exception.
It was filled out as if you were asking for a variance. This building was originally built in 1936.
Yes.
We have a handwritten
Correct.
Piece of document that someone wrote. Yes, not very legibly, let me.
here's my.
Yes.
Right.
What Sandy's saying is
go to the next page.
Yeah.
What does it say?
I'm going to bring up something.
Variance request only. Sorry that we didn't. Our staff, I think, could have caught that before tonight, but we'll talk about that later.
So what does that mean?
Well, you have to look at other criteria.
If the applicant can demonstrate to this, just that section is the requirement.
One you have, but also this one.
Right, which is on page 221.
But also 221 too, David. He has to go for those. I mean, it's got to be both. Pretty similar. It's putting you in a bit of a bind.
Let's back up because I think
we can help out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you guys know what I'd like to do if you can help me out here.
It's 603 that we need to address first, right?
Township saying may grant as well as it is.
Yeah. Let me.
Should only
if.
We should do 603 first.
Okay.
Yes, right. Two different things, yes. Sandy. Let's.
Can you provide testimony on how your proposed nonconformity would be no more detrimental to the area than the existing nonconformity?
Right. Thank you.
Sure. The existing nonconformity was previously a library, which was used by the Antique Auto Club, had visitors. People came and used the library, antique auto buffs and such. Our new tenants would have the usage of people that would work in the building, just like the library. The closed door pharmacy would not see customers, so we wouldn't have any of those coming. The martial arts studio would see students, and they have four instructors at any one time. And I was told by the owner that at any one time, the maximum number of instructors or students that would be on the property would be four instructors and 15 students. Is that about correct? Yes. So, as far as effects, to the neighborhood versus the old library, I don't see how, in my opinion, that's a whole lot different. Questions on that?
No questions on that. And would it be correct that this would not cause any
new non-conformities that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of.
In other words, you're not asking for a variance for anything else like setbacks or
no,
any other?
No, we are not doing any construction to the exterior of the building. This is all interior. Right now, it's a big vacant space that was a library. So for the new tenants, we have to build some rooms interiorly. But we would not have to do anything to the exterior other than a couple of the entrances we would have to create, just as we did in our side of the building. We'd have to create them to be ADA compliant. Which we would plan to do and handle in our building permit process.
And you can do that within the setbacks for the property?
Yes. It's a 2.7-acre lot, and we kind of sit right in the middle of it. We're not really close to any setbacks.
How about as far as any additional parking being provided, any additional parking required?
Yeah, let's talk about parking. If you go, Janelle, there's a... Oh, you're not? I thought you were. Dave, okay. You can see our parking lot there. This was taken shortly after we moved in. No green grass yet. We built an 81-space parking lot with the idea that we would have be able to, you know, utilize the entire building. That has all the appropriate number of handicap spaces as well. For the parking calculations, we're not even close to what we need here as far as the township is required. Have that somewhere? Here it is. So according to the staff that I talked to and what the ordinance says, we need one space for every instructor. And we would need one space for every two students. So that would be at maximum capacity. We would need 12 spaces for the martial arts studio. And then for upstairs, we need, for every 200 square feet, we would need a space. We have, that would be 22 spaces that we would need. So we would only need 34 total space for the tenants. We are grandfathered in at 25 spaces. That's 59. We have 81. Even if we weren't grandfathered and we had to use the 200 square foot per space, we would still only need 72 total spaces.
That last part is for your offices.
Yeah, that's correct. Which we have 81. So we would still comply to that. And I can tell you that we don't use near that space with our company. So so the parking is brand new. It's plenty for our purposes there.
All right. Mr. Kim, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. The reason why I'm going to ask you these questions is because we want to get through all the criteria for the special exception.
Okay. You bet.
So I apologize if it's abrupt or in any way.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of my job here to ask those types
okay.
of questions.
Yeah.
Just want to make clear that nothing that you guys are doing is going to adversely affect any health or safety of the residents in the neighborhood?
No.
I want to follow up on that. This pharmacy, does it have the appropriate security necessary in order to protect the controlled substances that are in there?
From what I understand, that's part of the process with the state. They have to provide proper security. We are discussing that with our build out with them, with our builder, making sure that they have what they need there. And Chuck's been in this business a very long time and really understands that part of it. So yes, all precautions will be taken.
And the licensing board does an inspection on that before you can even open your doors. Okay.
Yes, they do.
Will there be any changes that would burden the water, sanitary, sewer, public roads, drainage, or public improvements in any way?
No.
Same number of people as in the building as was before, approximately?
Same number of people in the building?
Working in the building. Is there going to be a significant increase?
Honestly, I can't answer that question honestly because I don't know exactly how many people worked at the library.
Okay. All right.
In the past.
No changes to the exterior of the building at all?
No, we improved the entire exterior of the building with our renovations, new roof, new windows, so yes.
I think that covers everything necessary under 502, unless someone else has some questions.
And I think what he was getting at was whether the proposed use would change the essential character of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having the students and their families coming in and out.
Yeah. So
would that be a little different?
So let's talk about that a bit. Obviously, Hershey Care is already there, so it wouldn't change the character because they're already there, and. The martial arts studio is a place for mostly, I believe, youngsters to go and learn. And yes, they would be going into a studio indoors and learning different martial arts. And how does that differ from a library? Well, I don't know how to explain that. I mean, people go in and learn about cars. I don't know, but I don't think that. I think one of the concerns might be that I've kind of heard maybe from the neighbors is that there would be a bunch of kids running around outside and doing classes outside. And I've talked to Suk about that, and that is not the intention of what he wants to do there. And everything would be in the building.
I have one other question. It kind of relates to that. As far as the martial arts studio, is this simply classes, or are there also exhibitions or you know, like I know, like some of the dance places and other things around town have like shows and things like that where others might be coming.
Yeah, classes only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you please ask?
Yeah. Would you like
him to come to the microphone to answer, please?
He knows much better than I.
Okay. No, we just want to make sure we can hear.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have people shaking their heads.
Good evening. My name is Suk Kim, S-U-K-K-I-M. I'm the owner of Kim's Institute of Martial Arts. And I guess I went through this before when I was at the Hillcrest. And I just teach martial arts. I don't do retails. And I have parents come in, and then we walk them out. They pick them up and go. So right now with COVID especially, I don't have any parents coming inside. So some parents come in, and they leave and come back about an hour later, and we take them out and make sure they get on the right car. So that's the intent to do it.
COVID aside, though, as far as the past or the future in terms of how
you're operating. Yes, sir. Same. I think we did the same at the Hillcrest.
You don't have any kind of like a show or something?
Oh, no, sir.
You know,
no,
where
sir. No tournaments.
For parents or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we have classes. We have, we've had camps before, but we haven't done that for the last couple of years. But
okay.
And I just had another question for Scott, though. You mentioned the neighbors. Have you had an opportunity to talk to any of the neighbors?
Well, I attempted that today. I saw through the community website there that there were some people that may be upset about what we're doing there. I think most of that was from just not understanding who we were dealing with. I think certainly when they heard pharmacy, they thought maybe a retail type of a deal there. That's not the case. I think when you hear martial arts studio, maybe they don't understand what that is. I really didn't before I started working with Suk, and It's a pretty cool thing that he does, and so I think our community would be better served to have that. And but I did make an attempt today to the one person who I noticed was not happy with what we were doing, and I didn't have his number, so I walked over to his house, and I actually talked to his wife for quite a bit, explained the situation, and got this gentleman's phone number, but he didn't call me back. So, but I did make that attempt today.
And I should have asked too. In your application, you mentioned about not wanting, not being able to rent it to other. Are there not other offices or other uses you could put in the building? I'm a little confused.
I'm sure that we would be amenable to other tenants, but that's a matter of the marketplace, and in 10 years or so, when these folks don't want to rent from me anymore, maybe I'm back here asking for office space or something. I don't know, but at the present time, this is what the market has brought to us. Mm-hmm. We've not turned anybody down at this point, put it that way.
Okay. Other questions from the board? No. Anyone from the public then that wishes to provide testimony in this case?
Can we just raise our hands?
Yeah.
Yes, and please come on up to the podium, please.
Gee, I get to go first.
You have to say your name.
Let me swear you in and get your name and all that. So, again, if you
Sidney Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R.
Yeah, let me swear you in.
963 Briar Crest Drive. Sidney, S-I-D-N-E-Y.
Excuse me. Let me get this.
Let me swear you in before you continue then. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sorry, what was your address?
963 Briar Crest. I'm directly across from the Blue Barn. I spoke with all our neighbors when we got the notice. I haven't found any neighbor on the street that's happy about this. It's just a concern of, they're asking for two tenants now. It's a very large building. So next week, the week after, well, we'd like to put more people in. He says it's not really going to cause any detriment. I've been there for 15 years. The auto museum that was there had a meeting once a year where the cars were parked up and down the street. Otherwise, you didn't even know they had a tenant. I wasn't aware that the pharmacy was in the Blue Barn. Are the people that own the BMW and the Corvette yours?
Yes.
Well, they seem to feel that Briarcrest is their own speedway since they've moved in. I'm retired. I'm there all day long. These guys racing in and out all the time. That's one of our main concerns. There are children beside me. Brian, on the end, has children. And we just feel that there's going to be more traffic there. I'm not opposed to the people he wants there now. I'm opposed to him coming back next week and saying, well, we have five more people that we want to put in a Starbucks, or we want to put in a museum or a gym. That's basically my concern. The hours of operation, the lights on, he put up some big lights in the new parking lot they built. Just little things like that, that's all. Just one of the few questions answered. Okay?
Is that everything that you have then? Because we can ask, have a response, but I just want to make sure that
That's not nitpick. Thank you.
If I could, I can briefly respond to Mr. Keller.
Yeah, that's fine. It's probably easier to just respond as.
Yeah. So the lights, we really didn't want to buy that many lights, to be honest with you. We were required to when we bought the building. And we put in our improvements. So what we do have on is a timer there, that goes off at a certain time at night. So they're not on all night, unless they're around the building, and that's for security.
What time do they go off?
Good question.
10 o'clock.
I think it's 10,
yeah.
11.
Thank 10 o'clock. Yeah. And we can adjust those. What we want to do is make sure that when our people bring clients in there at certain hours of the night when they're writing real estate contracts or whatever, and we want to make sure it's lit when they come into the work. That's why we chose that time. We figured by at least by 10, probably most people are not working anymore.
Other than these tenants, the office spaces you have, those are all going to be for your real estate company?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the half of the building is already occupied by us.
Okay. And in your real estate company, the reason why you have the lights is so that you can bring in clients after hours?
Yeah, but the reason we have the lights is because we were required by ordinance to have the lights.
Okay.
But that's a good idea. I mean, it's a safety thing. If they're bringing in clients at such and such a time, we want to make sure it's well lit for them.
And the timing of the lights, is that in any way?
Yeah, we can adjust that.
Okay.
So if we find we don't need it on till 10, we can change it to 9 or whatever.
And how long are your lease agreements with the martial arts studio and the pharmacy?
We're still negotiating that.
Okay. If you can tell me without disclosing too much.
Several years.
You're looking at a multi-year lease agreement on both.
Yes.
Particularly because the pharmacy requires additional build-outs and things like that?
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think one of the concerns was the hours. So I guess we'd have to ask our martial arts.
Sue, can you address the hours of operation? Or when do you? What time do you have your classes?
Right now. Before COVID, I had classes Monday through Friday, and I had a ladies kickboxing class in the morning, but I don't have that anymore. So my regular classes starts at 4:30, and it ends at 7:30. Before COVID, there was an extra class in the evening, and then ended at 8:25. So usually I do paperwork after that, clean up, and I'm out of there by 9 o'clock.
Your last customers are leaving around 8 o'clock or so.
Right now they're done at 7:30, so at 7:45 everybody's out of the building.
Yeah, I'm going to ask that a little differently, just to get clarification, because I want you to answer this beyond just kind of current COVID conditions.
Oh yes, sir. There won't be any classes after 8:30.
After 8. So they
we're
end
a small
by
town. Nobody wants to stay after.
So classes end by 8:30, just to be clear.
Yes, sir. Okay. And I'm the only one. Usually stay by 15, 20 minutes and then leave.
And then the earliest in the morning that you have classes?
Right now, I don't have anything. I've had a woman's ladies kickboxing class from like 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And then I leave and then come back later. Or I stamp, do some paperwork. Yes, sir. Mainly. So that's why I think the parking-wise, my instructors, my helpers, they're teenagers as well. I have one adult, and I have my daughter. She comes and helps. She drives. So you're not going to see a lot of cars there. And parents come, 45-minute class, they leave, and then I have another group. And so it's not a big group that's going to be occupying the parking lot.
Okay. And then this would...
I think there's some parent...
Yeah, I have another question. Yeah, please, if you come back to the podium.
About the hours of operation, I don't know exactly who's in the red barn. I know the blood bank is there. Somebody's there quite late at night.
Blue barn next door?
Yeah, I don't know if it's them, but somebody is there quite late at night. They're coming in and going out all hours. I don't know exactly who it is, but you mentioned about hours of operation. Would it be more than it was before? Quite a bit more than when the auto club was there. So I don't know who that is that comes and goes from the
okay.
barn.
I
don't.
Members of the audience.
Yes, I know. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you.
Thank you. Maybe are there other members of the public who want to please come up to the podium. Sure. Sounds like, again, if you'd first raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, if you'd please state your name and spell it, please.
Justin Morell, JustinMorell. I live at 1012 Greenlee Road.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
1012 Greenlee Road.
Okay, thank you.
And I just wanted to, well, first of all, I certainly appreciate that the owners of the building want, you know, need to lease their space. They have the space. They want to make money. I'm sympathetic to that. My property is the very top right there, which is adjacent to the back of the parking lot. The first that I heard about the new tenants moving in was when I got the notice in the mail. Scott was kind enough to stop by our home and speak to my wife earlier today, and I did post something on Nextdoor because I didn't know if other people in the neighborhood really knew that anything was happening there. I didn't know, actually, that an entirely new parking lot was being built on the property either until they started digging up the ground. I've lived in the property for 6 years now, I think. When the Antique Automobile Museum was there, as my neighbor Sid said, they had almost no traffic. Nobody came in and out of that place, or if they did, we never knew about it except for one day a year. And so we are now looking at, no disrespect to Mr. Kim, I'm sure that he's a wonderful teacher, and I'd like to support his endeavors, but if we have four instructors and 15 students, that to me is, 19 cars, potentially. And that's a lot of activity going on in a place where we are really not used to that kind of activity. So I don't think that it's really realistic to describe what's being proposed as the same thing that used to be going on there. So I'm concerned about that. I think that if there's the possibility that classes might go until about 8:30 at night, that means there are probably cars that are leaving the parking lot at 9 o'clock at night. For a residential neighborhood like ours with several cars, I mean, that could be, that's a fair amount of traffic at that time, I think. I think I heard that there was some talk about ADA compliance for entrances, and I'm not sure if this means new entrances will be added to the exterior or if it's adjustments to existing entrances, but I'm curious to know about that as well. I'm not sure that that was entirely clear for me. So those are really my concerns. I certainly understand that there's a lot of building space there, and that the owners of the building should be able to use that space. But this is a very different use of that space than has been used historically for the past, as long as I've known about it. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Any questions from the board for Kat?
I think Justin asked me to address the ADA entrances. It would be to the existing entrances. Right now, what we did on our building is we made all the entrances flush with the interior and exterior so you could roll wheelchairs in there. We have not done that to the one entrance into the lease space. Not that one, the other one, right there, which we would have to re-pour the sidewalk, raise it up, make it flush, put in safety bars like we have in our building right now. So that's what we would do. We're not adding any more entranceways into there. In fact, both tenants would probably use that entrance there as their main entrance into the building.
So you're saying you would modify one entrance?
Yeah, we only have to. The lower entrance is already compliant.
And could you point out, just for our reference, so what are the entrances that were modified previously for the office space you're using?
In the yellow building, and the yellow is our side. We poured all new concrete here, so that's all flush. That is not flush at our kitchen on the side. But these two entranceways into our rear, so three of these entranceways into our building are all handicap accessible.
But they're all new since you bought the building?
Yeah. We redid
And is that different than the entrances that you modified
already?
So they'll look similar to that?
Yes. Yep.
Mr. Cameron, real quick, that parking lot now currently exists, is that correct?
It does. It does. There was a parking lot there before. It wasn't much to write home about.
But the surface area of that parking lot as it exists now,
mm-hmm.
that what I'm seeing on this picture, that is a current picture?
That is correct. Yep. Very, very expensive parking lot. It all the stormwater is underneath it. So it's impervious asphalt, all that. So it works very well. We got a good test a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I want to keep this moving along here. Other members of the public.
Good evening. My name is Jason McNichol. I live at 975 Briar Crest Drive. I am directly behind the building.
Hold on. I need to swear you in. So let me do that. If you'd raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Did you get his name? Okay. Thank you.
So I am an attorney. I don't do zoning law. I don't know much about this process at all. So part of the concerns come from ignorance and not knowing the ramifications of some of these decisions. And I think not just for me, but other neighbors as well, not being familiar with the process. One thing I wasn't clear on, there seemed to be some confusion up front, and I guess I want to be clear on, this is not a variance, correct?
This is not a variance that they're asking for. It's a special exception, which is is different than a variance.
For a reestablishment of a discontinued non-conforming use?
No.
Because that's how it reads.
Yes, okay. I noticed that too,
and that's where
sir.
That's part of where this confusion comes from, and so I wanted...
Yeah. Oh, you're saying in the notice of the hearing?
In the notice, there was a typo.
Okay.
Yes. It's a replacement of a non-conforming use.
Okay. And I guess what I would say along those lines is at the end of the day, there are some significant changes, and there's a lot of changes. There has been in the last 2.5 to 3 years since we've lived at this property with the parking lot, with the lighting. The number of tenants will increase significantly. The number of employees, which is still not clear to me, will increase significantly. Now, with that said, I do want to note with the bad comes the good. You should get some good, and that is they've done a phenomenal job on that building. They did it right. They put a lot of time and investment into that, and we appreciate that. I think one of my biggest concerns is that if we're going to give this, I guess we'll call it a limited use exception, right, that it's going to be, that's still not what this is. This is just
it's
a non-conforming.
It's called a special exception.
Or the special exception, I'm sorry. That this special exception will be limited to what's being proposed here. That is, these two tenants for these two uses. I'd like to know that this isn't opening the door to other non-conforming uses without going through this process again. And I'm sure that's what you folks do when you render a decision, but I'd ask that it be narrowly tailored to these specific tenants for these specific uses. And if that changes, that we're back in this process again, we go through the hearing and we can kind of have the checks and balances. That's one of my concerns, is that we open it for this non-conforming use, other non-conforming uses can come right in. That's one of my concerns. And again, it's not being overly familiar with this process. The other thing is, obviously, we want to keep the character. There hasn't been any discussion about signage. I'm not entirely clear about the Hershey Care, is it? The Hershey Care Pharmacy, how many employees they're going to have. I don't know if that was really addressed, but it sounds like they're there 7 days a week. Different hours throughout the day, but from 7 to 7, it sounded like, and then during the weekend, there were hours as well. That is an exceptional change from what's been there for at least the 3 years that I've been there, but from what I'm hearing today, more than what's been there over the last 15 or so years. I don't know where signs are going to go. I guess we're kind of clear on hours. The increase of traffic, I don't know if that's necessarily been considered, quite frankly. Are there going to be delivery trucks for the pharmacy? Does someone pick them up, or do they kind of have their own trucks? Do they keep them at the property? That wasn't clear to me. Not something I ever noticed at the Blue Barn, to be honest with you, but that's one of the things that popped into my head as a concern. And I think that's it. I mean, again, I think what it comes down to, I just want to know that these two proposals, this is what the exception is limited to at this point. Beyond that, I still think there needs to be a few more questions to kind of ferret out what's being proposed for these two tenants signage-wise, the number of employees, and just to realize the actual impact that it's going to have on the area. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on. Just any questions for? No, go ahead.
I can address some of those things. First of all, the process. I'm fully expecting that if they are so inclined to approve these tenants, it would be specific. And then if we had sometime in years in the future, a different tenant with a different usage, I would be right back here. That's how I understand it. Am I correct in that assumption?
Can I ask, and again, I know you're in negotiations, but can you just give us a ballpark of how many year lease agreements you're looking for?
2 to 5 years.
Okay. And you would be, if it were narrowly tailored to this limited these two tenants, you would be, that would be fine for your purposes. Is that right?
What would be fine?
To narrowly tailor it to these two tenants for the time being.
Well, as the owner of the building and not wanting to go through this process ever again, I would certainly want a liberal interpretation, but I'm not expecting that.
Let me ask this question. What is the amount of square footage that you're going to lease to the pharmacy versus the amount of square footage that you're going
to lease? 3,200 to the martial arts studio and 4,220 to the Hershey Care.
Will you be doing any additional build-outs for either one of these that make it suitable for their purposes, limited to their purposes?
Yes, mostly upstairs. There are certain things in the build-out that would be specific to what Chuck's usage is.
And the upstairs would be the pharmacy.
That's
the
correct. Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And you gone away from offices because you said the market doesn't bear commercial offices anymore?
We didn't get many inquiries about it. I expected certain people to be calling. They didn't.
Well, I already had office space.
Yeah.
I don't have any further questions on that.
That's the way I understand the process. Jason mentioned it's a big change. I would argue that certainly the martial arts studio is a bit of a change. The pharmacy is a change for the building, but not for the area, because it's already right next door, operating right next door. And I can't read my writing on the third thing here.
Signage,
thank you. Signage. So I already looked into that a little bit. Obviously, this township has a sign ordinance, which we would have to comply to. We would. I know Suk would like a sign out front somewhere to announce that his business is there, and we're going to try to accommodate him as long as we can accommodate it according to what is allowed by the township. Chuck, I don't know. We haven't talked to Chuck about signage much, but I don't know if you want to address that at all.
I can touch on the signage. We're a closed-door pharmacy. We do not have customers coming in, so we're not advertising. I don't want people to know there's a pharmacy there, basically, because they can be targets. So we just go about our thing. If I may, while I'm here, I'll address the issue as to employees. At a quiet point in the day, we've got probably 4 or 5 employees. At a busy point, we've probably got 10 or 12 employees. So that's kind of our normal staffing. We do have robotic packaging, so there's some of those things going on. And we do have some drivers coming and going. But as I said, it's usually about 4 or 5 times a day where they're in, then out, and then they're on the road for 2 to 3 hours.
What type of vehicles do the drivers use?
We use a lot of Priuses because we like getting 50 miles a gallon, and we have a couple RAVs, and I think we have one truck because we sometimes haul some carts around. He did also ask about deliveries. So most of our deliveries are either FedEx or UPS, which is in the area once a day anyway. But the vast majority of it comes every morning at about 7:15. We get a van load of anywhere between 3 and 12 totes of medications and things that come in the door. So that's most of our deliveries. We do not get tractor trailers, anything like that.
Okay. Thank you.
And just to clarify the use, it seems to me that the normal process it would be that we would allow, if we voted on the special exception, we would be allowing the use. So if this martial arts studio moved to California and another martial arts studio came in, that new name would be allowed. And if this closed-door pharmacy closed and another closed-door pharmacy came in, that would be allowed. So it seems to me, I turn to our solicitor on that, but it seems to me that it's the use that's being allowed, not the specific, unless we address it differently.
The board could determine what conditions they want to impose.
Including limiting it to the specific
Limiting it, the hours and such things for that. But you are right. It would be hard for the board to deny another martial arts class if they were using it as this one is proposed.
Right.
Or closed pharmacy.
Just a slippery slope, as we say sometimes in the law.
But is there already a sign there?
Yes. Brownstone Real Estate has a sign on 322 Governor Road.
And would any additional signage be on that sign?
That's what we're exploring. We can only have so much square footage on that sign. And we're exploring what that is and how that would look. We're doing some mock-ups right now.
And you would have to go through a process?
Yes.
If I can. I guess one thing that wasn't clear to me is there was a number of vehicles listed, and if I can ask a direct question, are any of them stored? Would they be stored at the parking lot?
You'd have to come up to answer.
Can you hear? I'm sorry.
No, the answer.
Mr. Cray needs to come back. No.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Please.
We have about four vehicles that get parked there at night. So the drivers come with their car, stop there. They take our vehicle. They do the run. They come back, leave the vehicle there, and take their vehicle home. It's usually no more than three drivers at any given time are out in a run.
What I would note about that is, I didn't know that they had vehicles I'm assuming they have the same vehicles that the Blue Barn. The Blue Barn is also disguised a little differently. I don't see the parking lot quite the same way as I do the Brownstone building. The Brownstone building, that parking lot's literally right in front of my house. So if we talk about changes, just for whatever that's worth, to have vehicles parked there overnight, 7 days a week, that's a change. I'm a little surprised by that because I never really noticed that at the Blue Barn, but understand it's a different setup. I guess the other concern I'd have at this point is, well, you know what, I think that's it. So the parking is a little bit of an issue, but again, I guess if you folks have the ability to limit it to this particular tenant, these particular circumstances, then that's what I would ask you to do. I understand that you mentioned the specific use, but I'd ask you to be limited even more so if you can to the specific tenants under these circumstances. And then if there is some kind of change, a different type of karate place wants to come in or a different type of pharmacy wants to come in, at least we have an option to go through this process again and we can be heard. Otherwise, we talk about slippery slope. Yes, it could be.
You commented about Blue Barn.
Yes,
looking,
sir.
Like looking different. What's different, from your viewpoint? Because I'm not in your shoes. So
the Blue Barn is to, if I'm facing out with my front door to my back, the Blue Barn is directly to my left.
Okay.
I would say that the Brownstone is essentially dead on, straight ahead, and also a little bit to the right. The parking lot being smack dab in front of my house.
Okay, thank you.
And the parking lot, which looks great, and it's in great condition, it was kind of like a little cinder type, almost didn't even look like a parking lot. It was just a big brown space, which is now it's a pretty big but nice parking lot.
What we're hoping is in about 10 years, our street trees will grow, and then it'll be, you won't see it.
That's always the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with the Blue Barn. Their trees are
mature. Yeah. So I don't know the legal issues involved here, but I would say from our perspective, we would not have a problem with limiting it to these specific tenants, if that's the way you're thinking. I don't know what the appropriateness of that is or the legalities of that is, but it would be okay with us.
One question. You did say that you have trees that you plan to grow.
Yeah, part of the development plan and approval with the building permit process was we had to do landscaping. These pictures here, unfortunately, were taken from a drone, and it was prior to us doing the landscaping. So you can't see it on these pictures.
Those large trees, those three large trees.
Oh, they're still there.
They're the same trees.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're still there. The trees I was referring to is along the Briarcrest Drive. We have a bed there that we were required to put some landscaping in, and throughout the parking lot as well.
So soon that will conceal the parking lot in some way from obvious people.
That's the idea. It's to buffer it. So. They did have leaves this year, so.
What happened to the sidewalk that was there? Is that still there?
Still there. Yeah. Yep.
Matt, could you go back to the one?
Can you just say your name again?
Sid Keller. No. There. Do you see all the cars parked along the Blue Barn? That, I believe, is the pharmacy. Well, I live right there in the blue house across from it. I thought there was an Uber or a Lyft company, the way they come in and out all day. I didn't know it was a pharmacy. But you can see the amount of cars that are parked there. Now, if they're moving into a larger facility, are they going to have more orders and more employees? That's another question. And more cars.
You're talking about those cars that are...
You can see
the front of the blue.
Okay.
I would address that. We've been there 2.5-3 years, whatever the heck it is, and the character changed 12 to 18 months ago. The Blue Barn was relatively empty. Steve put some money into it, fixed it up a little bit, and the Blood Bank came in there, the Maid Pro came in there, and I can't think what else, Dr. Zahorian, I believe, came in there. So not all those vehicles are the pharmacy. Most of those vehicles are from the other businesses that are in there. Maid Pro, especially in the morning, has 10, 15, 20 cars coming in and out. Our employees come, they're there for 6-8 hours. They may run out for lunch or something, but they're there.
Okay. Provide testimony. Okay, any other questions from board members? Okay, so the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your testimony. Okay, we're on to our last hearing, and that's the hearing in the case of Lodo Station, LLC, doing business as the Englewood, case number 2021-09. Okay, I guess you got the drill. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Name is Richard Russell, RichardRussell. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. My name is Rick Russell. I'm the owner of the Englewood Barn, which is a a brewery, restaurant, live music venue adjacent to the Cocoa Beanery in Hummelstown. We are here seeking a variance, and I'll get into that in a second, but it's relative to our sign. First of all, Sandy, I apologize. I realized when I submitted very rushed paperwork, it probably was, it appeared very rushed. You can tell I'm left-handed, though. Everything slanted to the right, though, on that. I read that, and I thought, wow, I normally could have typed that out, but I do apologize for the way that was presented. It did happen rather quickly. I wanted to make sure to get on this agenda. First of all, I want to express to the board that I appreciate the strictness of the sign ordinance around here. I do live in downtown. There's a reason we don't look like Disney around here, and it's because we don't have billboards, and we have a downtown improvement district, and there are a lot of cool things about living downtown, and one of the cool things is a lack of a proliferation of signs. So I am sensitive to that, and in a previous capacity, I did a lot of signage work before this board. Put on my glasses here. The variance we're seeking is not for the sign itself. The sign itself has been approved, we have a permit for the sign, but rather it is the function by which we will illuminate this sign, and specifically we're seeking a variance from section 224-401.4, which would allow us to internally illuminate the sign as opposed to providing external illumination to that sign. Per the criteria required in the variance, I'll go through the five criteria. The area does have some unique physical circumstances to it. One, especially in the northwest corner, it's an extremely hilly area. When you are approaching from the west east on 322, it's very difficult to see our building until it's almost too late, until you, we're like, oh, that's our neat red barn. And I should note that we've been open for a year and a half, or a year and 2 months, it feels like 10 years, and we do not have a sign yet. So there is no signage associated with our building as of yet. But it does have some unique physical characteristics, most specifically the topographic design of the hill. And it's probably hard to see there, but I'm sure you've all driven through that and you know that it is quite raised in that area. The second physical characteristic is that we're on a condoed parcel. And because we're on a condoed parcel, the sign ordinance that extends to the entire ownership parcel, we are a leasehold interest with the Hershey Trust, and because of that, our ability to put a larger sign is rather diffused around the entire parcel as opposed to just our specific condo unit. So we couldn't put a big monument sign because that would essentially suck up all the allowable signage for future development in that area. So we had to be very specific as with the sign that we wanted. In addition, there are some unique physical structures to the area. One of them is the proximity of the other structures, and that is most specifically the U-Grow structure, which sits directly in front of us. And once you go past that, absent a sign, we think that it's difficult for potential guests and visitors to identify quickly and safely that the exit is here for it. And I'm not talking about a directional sign. I'm just talking about any signage. The second one, strict compliance in this case, is difficult. And again, I want to draw attention to, we're not talking about the sign itself specifically, but rather how it's illuminated. And we believe that if strict compliance, i.e. not having an illuminated sign, would not serve the purpose of installing the sign because we wanted to have some night visibility for the structure.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I thought that it's how it's illuminated.
That's correct.
So it's not the difference between a dark sign. It's just between an external and an internal.
That is correct. And that's a point that thank you for bringing that up because I did misspeak on that. We would be allowed to have an external illumination, i.e. spotlight it. Interestingly, if I had wrapped Christmas lights around the sign, that would probably be authorized as well under your ordinance. However, because it is internally illuminated, which we believe is a much more respectful looking sign, it's what brings us here. But thank you. That is an accurate point. Point number three about us, whether or not the applicant, us in the case, created the hardship. The improvements to the area, that the other buildings in the area pre-existed our development. The hill, which we would have loved to see knocked down a little bit, pre-existed our development. We chopped away a little bit of it. The trees and the structure that we wanted to keep there all pre-existed our development. The condo arrangement with the trust and the other tenants pre-existed our development. So in those respects, we believe that we did not create the hardship associated with this request. In terms of does this change that we're seeking, does this variance we're seeking alter the essential character of the neighborhood, there's really only one other neighbor there right now for that's on our side, and that is Ugrow. And Ugrow has an internally illuminated sign affixed to the side of their building. So we believe that the sign we're seeking is consistent with that. I can tell you when, if you could put the sign picture back up. So it's the letter that's going to be illuminated. It's not the entire sign. In many respects, just having that internal illumination is going to be much less of a, maybe light pollution is the right word there, because in order to put visibility on it with spots, we would have to both have bottom spots and top spots in order to see it. With an internally illuminated sign, it's less light coming out, but it certainly creates additional visibility for the folks that we would like to see that.
And just to clarify, you said it's only the E that will be illuminated, not the,
the
white
e in the
around
circle.
It?
The E in the circle.
In the circle.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
And then finally, is this the least amount of changes needed to secure what we're seeking? As I mentioned, we believe an internally illuminated sign is sort of the softest light aspect on this, as opposed to having numerous spotlights shining down on it. Because for those who have been there, it's already at night, the portico is already rather illuminated in terms of it's inside that area. To illuminate an additional sign would require us to put several more lights on there, as we understand it right now.
So just to clarify, is this the only sign then that
Correct.
You will have on the
Correct.
Facility?
Yep.
And the only sign you're not just asking this board for, but the only sign?
It is the only, yeah. Speculating on what the West End development looks like in the future, there may be they have a group sign at some point where we could sort of do an us two, but this will be the only sign that the Inglewood will be seeking. And, it's not ideal, but we think if you've made it down to Bullfrog Valley Road and looking across, you kind of know where you're going. We're just trying to capture the attention of those coming from the west.
And just to be clear, you're not asking for any change in the dimensions of the side? Or
that is correct.
Other than where the light is coming from?
That is correct. The sign permit has been approved. As a matter of fact, the sign will be installed next week, but not illuminated pending decision of this board.
Any questions from board members?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Right.
Thank you. Oh, and again, we have 45 days to render the decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Before we move to adjourn, I have one item I just want to do publicly.
On the record.
Okay. I have one as well.
Okay, Dean, you can do yours first if you prefer, but.
Given the testimony of the pharmacist and the nature of the business and security, I would move for any reference to times that deliveries are made to and from the pharmacy to be not included in the minutes.
Okay, not included in the minutes. And can I modify that?
Sure.
And not included in the order that is made public.
Yes, right. any public disclosure should not happen.
Right. All right. I'll second that.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Great.
So for the minutes and the order.
Minutes and the order shouldn't include.
Shouldn't include anything about hours.
Anything about delivery times.
Deliveries and hours.
Yeah, deliveries in or out.
Right.
In or out, yep.
Okay.
That sounds good. My item is just I want to put this on just in the public session so we can act on it. And that is, I think our application needs modification.
Yep.
And I'm going to let me make a motion that I'm willing to work with staff to do that and bring something back to this board at our next meeting to approve some revisions to our forms and how they're, the applications and how they're used in order to, because we had the same issue with special exceptions in other times. So my motion would be that you.
Second.
Yep. Basically, allow me as chairman to work with staff and come back to this board for a vote on some changes to forms at our next meeting.
Okay.
That doesn't violate sunshine in any way, right?
No.
That's why I'm doing it this way.
Steve works with staff, and then you can consider it at your next meeting.
Right.
Or whenever it's ready.
Yeah. Okay. So any further discussion? No?
No,
all,
not either.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
May I just, the motion that was previously done, I know that I'm not participating in that deliberation, but could we also include the references to the listed times of after hours in and out? Due to the narcotics that are kept on site at pharmacies, it creates a security, not just with the deliveries, but for internal employees and access to the building. It can create a pretty significant security risk for the individuals who are part of it if it's published, you know, when people are coming in and out of the buildings or
right.
For staff.
And we could just stay here to deliberate again.
Yeah, all in favor of that modification?
Yeah.
Any mention of hours at all relative to that?
Yeah.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye. Martial arts, okay.
Okay, yeah, let's stay here to deliberate. So motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Can we take a 5-minute?